Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running a design studio, and more, all for presentation designers, managers, and presenters. Here are your hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative, just outside of New York City in Montclair, New Jersey.
This is Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California. This episode, we are not in our studios, but face-to-face having an amazing week of PowerPoint and presentation conversation outside of Seattle, Washington on the Microsoft campus. We were able to gather over a dozen PowerPoint experts for a great conversation that we recorded in the lobby of the Bellevue Hyatt. So this episode, we are foregoing news, what's happening in our studios and tech tips, and jumping right into our conversation recorded live with this group of great people at the Microsoft 2018 MVP Summit.
Hey everybody, thanks for joining us. This is not only a special episode for a couple of reasons. First of all, it is the 50th episode of the Presentation Podcast. We are recording it right here for this group. Second thing is, as you can hear, we have a large gathering of PowerPoint presentation professionals and OneNote all around us. And this is fantastic. We are at Microsoft at the MVP Summit. We're all invited guests. It is a huge honor to be here. It's been a few days of fantastic information, all of which we are not allowed to discuss thanks to some nice NDAs.
So now we're done.
So yeah, we're just gonna add, but we have lots of other things. There is no agenda. There's always a conversation topic around our podcast. And this one, the conversation is, hey, let's talk PowerPoint. So with that, Nolan, what do you have to say?
I got a glass of really nice champagne in front of me. So courtesy of Tom Howell from Australia.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you very much. So we're going to do, maybe when we get everything poured, we'll do a little cheers.
Oh, yeah.
A little to kick it off. And I don't know, Sandy, what do you got to say?
Hi, everyone. Sandy here. Welcome. Let's get started.
Yay. Okay, so we don't really have an agenda, so we'll just kind of start the rambling here. But how about this, seeing how we're all together, does anybody have a PowerPoint formatting tip? Just throw a tip out there based on anything. This will just be interesting because we have such diversity here.
No space bullets.
Oh, no space bullets.
No space bullets.
No, we're getting granular.
It's called zero space.
Thank you.
Which is
zero
actually not space. Clicking no bullet, because that does not truly reset the line to the 0 point. That is a very good tip.
You actually have to go into the custom bullet characters and look for the zero width space.
If you design templates and you have no thing, just buy their book. The book describes it all. It is like,
if you can find it.
It is.
Here's what's important about that. You can't use the tab key to format your bullet points, your lines, your text,
if
lines
you
of
don't
text.
Have
if
a
you
bullet.
Don't
if you
have
don't
it.
Have it,
yes.
A bullet, right.
Yes.
So this is a fake bullet.
Yep, fake bullet.
Okay, so the template books, FYI, I moved into my new house. I found a box of template books. Mm. I have 20. I'll sell them to you for about $50. Oh, this is Echo Swinford. You can find me at echosvoice.com. There's a contact us form. Shoot me a note through there. Let me know you want to get a book. Send me an email address where I can reach you, and we'll figure it out.
Seriously, out of print, you can't get it, but now you can through Echo.
Echo, so I would like to buy one from you.
What?
Okay.
I would like to buy one.
And tip Echo, give us your, yeah, we're selling them all right now.
It's a deal, though.
It's like a telethon.
Echo, weren't they at one point like $400?
No, they were $4,000 on Amazon for
so
a minute.
So it's a deal. It's
we
a
laughed.
Deal.
You're getting a deal.
And give us a tip, a presentation formatting tip.
Oh, so what I was going to say is when you are using the eyedropper to pick up colors, if you press and hold your mouse key and drag it off, you can pick up a color from anywhere on your screen. You're not limited to just your PowerPoint slide area.
Including your second monitor.
Including your second monitor. So if you're looking for a pick up a color from your web page, from your desktop, from a picture that's open in Paint or Photoshop or whatever.
Funny
your room. Do it on your wall. Just keep dragging.
Funny story about that, Echo. I did that. I was in Photoshop and I was trying to pick up a color from my secondary monitor, a PDF. It's like, why is it not going over there? I'm holding. Anyways, wrong program.
I think we can cheers.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. Bye, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Congratulations to the Presentation Podcast on 50 amazing episodes.
Thank you, Julie.
Congratulations.
Okay, another tip. Who's got a formatting tip?
Let me add one of those that we discussed. Even though it's not an NDA thing,
introduce yourself.
Talk about the NDA stuff at all.
Introduce yourself.
Yeah, because nobody's heard your voice before. Who are you?
Really? Oh, my name. Yeah, you guys didn't introduce any of us, so let us introduce ourselves.
That would be pretty good.
Yeah, so I'm Boris. I'm the newest, I believe, on the table who is an MVP. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. Coming from Bulgaria, and the tip that I wanted to mention is the so-called replace fonts. I'm still completely shocked how many people that we work with on a daily basis, and I'll tell you a story about that, don't know about that feature. Yeah, so we had a story with a client that's not under NDA, with KPMG. Those guys spent 80% of their work doing presentations in one way or the other. We showed them the fact that they can replace the font with two clicks, and one of the ladies inside the room was almost about to cry. The question is, why? And the reason why it is, and by the way, her manager is also in the room, is because on the previous day, she spent 4 hours changing fonts on a slide-by-slide basis on an 85-page slide deck. And then she saw that she can do it with one click.
There are parameters for where it does and doesn't work, but we're going to tout that Steve Rinsberg is going to soon release a tool that he demoed us that doesn't do the replace, but it tells you what slide every font is on so you don't have to go hunting.
Nice.
Steve?
Nice.
Now you're being committed to this amazing tool.
This is sort of under end. I'm Steve Rinsberg. I don't do much PowerPoint really very well, but I write programs that make PowerPoint dance. One of them that's in progress is something that Troy's going to... But it will give you...
Wait, don't tell me!
Oh, you don't want to...
Okay, so here's the summary. He showed me this tool. He's like, what do you think of this? And the report it gave back was slide by slide what fonts are on every slide. It does a whole bunch of stuff. But the one thing I looked at was, you're telling me what fonts are on what slide so I can actually go find those mystery fonts that are in the replace fonts menu that are double byte and I can't replace, so I can actually narrow my search down. I'm very excited about this. We're just like most of Microsoft, 6 to 18 months out?
Yeah.
Can we talk about the other? Okay.
So when Nolan gets off of me and lets me stand up again and gets... No, he's got my arm.
This podcast has gone down rapidly.
And Nolan has been helping me test another little bit of code that will basically go into a PowerPoint file and let you rip out any fonts that you don't want, replace them with any other font that you want. So you can take all those... Annoying. Yeah.
Yes.
Can you share that with me?
Yes.
He just trumped you.
No. But maybe I'll just combine them into one. Would that be okay with you, Nolan?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Miracle.
Now, if you can convince him to wrap it up in like a user friendly way, because it's a little.
It's
you got to jump through
geeky.
A couple of
those. It's mega geeky. Oh, it's got awful geeky, but yeah.
But it works.
Speaking of Mr. Rinsberg, this is Julie Terberg, PowerPoint MVP. And I adore all these folks at the Presentation Podcast. Mr. Rinsberg has created this amazing tool that I use every single day, and it's called Thor. And Thor's hammer allows you to pick up the position, placement, and sizing.
So good.
Of any object. And apply it to any other object in your deck.
It is also one of his few tools that is 32-bit install and 64-bit install
and
friendly.
It's free.
And it's free.
It is a part of my daily routine. I use it constantly. So I've slid it down to the end of my QAT so I can hit Alt 4 and Alt 5 to pick up and apply the position.
And you can use it in master slides.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
And that deserves a shout out to two people. Echo, who's down at the end of the table, who kind of made me She beat on me until I did it.
Yay!
Put it on the ribbon so she could customize it.
That was so many years ago. I can't believe
it. Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, it took a lot of years to get. Yeah. Okay.
While he's talking, look that way.
What? Look at that. Oh, hi. Yeah. Oh, hi, Daniel. He's taking pictures of us. And also to Taylor Kroonquist, who named it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know the story of that.
Thor.
So we all owe Steve beers every day. Like, it saves me hours and hours and hours. So, Steve, have a glass of champagne on me.
Who else would like to say something great about Steve? Yeah. Let's go around the table.
Okay, so this is Dave Parody, and I'm going to come way down on the complexity scale for the tip. So for those of you who are looking for a simple tip you can implement, one of the things that we end up doing a lot on our slides is copying and pasting. And a lot of people, Control-C, copy, Control-V, paste. Well, it's so much easier with almost every object on a PowerPoint slide is hold the control key down, keep it held down, move your mouse over that object. You'll see a little plus sign come up beside the cursor. Now click down and drag. Control drag is duplicate. And you can now move it, and if you've got the guides going, you can get it all perfectly lined up. It can save you a ton of time when you're creating diagrams, sequence diagrams, process diagrams, Gantt charts, that sort of thing. Simple tip, can save you a lot of time.
That's about the only way I copy.
Yeah, hold down, if you hold down other keys like shift, that'll control. Keep it, or shift control, that'll keep it, you know, on a horizontal plane as you are copying. It's they're one, keyboard shortcuts are just great. Just great. Another tip that I have, and this is,
identify yourself.
I'm Heather Ackman, by the way. Heather Ackman, PowerPoint MVP. Another tip that I use for formatting that again, a lot of my students never really kind of realize because it's buried in the interface is the selection pane. When they are working, yeah, everyone, I don't know if you heard that groan, but that is pain. That is pain from working and formatting in PowerPoint. If you are working with multiple objects, pictures, text, chart, whatever it might be, if you are piling a lot of objects onto a slide, open the selection pane. I don't need PowerPoint open. I can tell you exactly where it is. You go to the Home tab. You go to all the way, maybe I do need the PowerPoint open.
All the way to the right.
All the way to the right. In the Arrange group, I believe. It's in there. In that.
It's under Select. The drop-down looks like a cursor. And you might be thinking, oh my gosh, I'm getting a second cursor. But you're not. It's
buried.
Gold.
It's like in the Arrange. It's like a button in the Arrange group, I think. And all the way down, there's something called the selection pane. But in Office 2016, there is this wonderful, 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 wonderful search box at the very top. If you go to that box and type in selection pane, it will pop up. And then any command on the ribbon, you can right click and add it to your QAT. That's quick access toolbar.
So Heather, I don't need to know where it is. All I need to know is it's the third tool from the right on my QAT.
That's
I don't know anything else about where
That's
to find
right.
it.
All you have to do is go to the Tell Me box in that search bar on the top of that pane, type in selection pane. Once you start typing, it'll start searching for it. Selection pane, right click on that command once it pops up, add it to your quick access toolbar. Do that now. Saves you so much time.
The technical name of that is the selection and visibility pane, because on the right-hand side of each item, there's an icon. By the way, if you're wondering what that icon is, folks, when you're looking at your screen right now, that's supposed to be a human eyeball. I know it doesn't look like that, but trust me, that's what it's supposed to be. That's the visibility toggle. It turns something invisible on your slide or turns it back on. Now, here's the thing that I caution people on. That visibility toggle is persistent. By that, I mean, if you exit the selection pane or if you exit the slide, it will not reset it. So be very careful. I usually say there's that button that says turn everything back visible again. I usually say before you close the pane, turn everything back visible. In all my years, there's only one time that I ever left something not visible because it was a very specific situation. But if you go into slideshow mode and you're thinking it's going to show up, but you turn the visibility off, it won't be there. So, awesome tool, just one caution to be aware of.
But that's also a very valuable thing sometimes, because if you make it invisible, it's not selectable. It used to be in older versions of PowerPoint, but you can't select it if it's invisible.
Correct.
Selection pane, Tom, for animations. Yeah. You can name.
The selection pane, yes.
I'm
Tom from Synapsis Creative. The selection pane is also where you can rename shapes, objects, and anything that you have on the slide, which then helps you if you're in the animation pane. It actually replicates the name. Yep. So you can order your objects and line your objects up without having to know that shape 46 is that square you put in the corner and freeform 422 is that tiny little star. I've seen them. Is that tiny little starburst.
This is Julie. I want to build upon that. A recommendation when you do an icon libraries, rename every icon in the PowerPoint library folks who are animating, if they're animating those icons, it'll show up with the correct name.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could rename the objects in the animation pane, though?
Yeah.
Combine that functionality? Yeah. We need to tell Microsoft.
So I spent an afternoon taking a vector world map and naming every country. So if you ask me to, like, highlight some weird country in Africa and I don't know where it is, I just... Yeah, it's on my website. You can download it.
You could pass every fourth grader's world map test.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is that in your goodies?
It is my goodies. If you download the PPT assets file, it's there.
Thank you.
I should make it separate, though.
That's pretty cool.
I have one other tip, and this is slightly outside of PowerPoint, but also slightly inside of PowerPoint. And this is a tool that is only accessible by adding it to your quick access toolbar. It is not in the UI anywhere that I have seen it. So to actually add the tool, you have to go into Quick Access Toolbar Customization and add, it is named Document Location. And when you add it to your Quick Access Toolbar, it gives you a text box that sits in your Quick Access Toolbar that gives you the exact document location of where that PowerPoint is saved. Now, this doesn't seem useful.
No, that's awesome.
Until you copy it and you need to attach that PowerPoint in any circumstance, you can simply paste it in any Finder box and go straight to that PowerPoint.
So you're saying you're disorganized when you work because you don't know where your files are?
No,
my files are perfect.
All it saves you doing is navigating through every one of your folders. So
lets you navigate to it.
It navigates and then attaches immediately. A use case example is you save your PowerPoint and you're ready to send it to your client and you're ready to send it to someone else. You copy your document location. And you go into your emails or your project management folder or whatever you're working with, and you go attach, and that brings up the navigator. And rather than having to navigate through all of your files and all of your folders, you just press paste and then enter, and that attaches that file immediately.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
It is very cool. So how is that different from file send attach file?
Well, because if you're going to send it through... like a Hightail or a Dropbox.
It goes in any file box. So if you're working in project management software, you can attach a file to a project management internally.
Under the QAT, there's a couple that you can filter different ways, and one of the categories is functions not on the ribbon. Yeah. So that's one of them. So there literally are features, I don't know how many of them, that are hidden.
Well, wait, let's just ask that really quick, because I can think of like at least four on my QAT that are not in the native ribbon. Anybody native?
Eyedroppers.
Eyedroppers, because Echo mentioned them. That was two of them.
Well, it's
there.
A different eyedropper, though. Yes. It's a pickup style eyedropper as opposed to the color fill painter eyedropper.
Is make transparent color, is that still there? Or make color trend, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, when you can add you can find it, but it's like one of those ones that's
it's still there.
You can drill down to it through.
Yeah, it's in
like
color. Yeah, color.
They took it away from the Mac.
There used to be a nudge, which helped you nudge charts and tables, but now you can do arrow keys.
Or hold the control key down to select it. Yep. Any other QAT ones? What do you add to the QAT that give the man a mic? There's one here, too.
Well, if you're a total geek and do VBA, the developer tab is hidden on the...
We've just gotten really geeky. The developer tab. Hold on, wait. Show of hands. How many people have the developer tab available? I actually do.
No.
This is like 90% of the people here.
Forty-eight people just raised their hands. And the reason they did it, I'm betting, is so that they can use ActiveX controls. Text boxes that people can fill in while you're in slideshow view.
The only one I
really
use is the text box, though.
Do you use it for macros, though, too?
Well, not really. You don't have to. It's useful if you're using macros as well.
Yeah. I can think of at least three more buttons that I have on mine.
What?
Superscript, subscript.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is Julie. I have a super geeky tip for people who actually like the artistic effects in PowerPoint. So if you're doing things like blurs and recolors. Well, some people like using some of the single color recolors.
Yeah, the duotone looks.
And some folks like using the blur effects for different reasons. There's a few other artistic effects that have merit, especially you can play with the contrast, the brightness, the saturation, and all that. However, if you're finding that your file is getting really big, and or you're saving that manipulated image as a template. What's happening in the understructure is PowerPoint is saving all of the versions of that particular image. So you need to get rid of, if you unzip that file, you're going to see a lot of WDP files.
Yes.
Those are the back save versions of that image. So everything without those artistic effects. So you need to take your manipulated image, save it as, whether you want to save it as a PNG, or a JPEG, whatever, save it out. Bring it back in and get rid of all of those multiple backs.
Oh, wait, I shortcut
copy
it.
Copy and paste special.
Yes. Yeah, internal.
Yeah, copy paste special.
But and no current that I know of compression program will touch a WDP. No. I talked to the guys at, I'll just say, two different companies.
NX
and they
Power
both Light. Said, no, that's not something we can actually do because there's no, it's kind of more proprietary looking.
Imagine if you've done that to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 files in your deck, in your template. You're going to explode the file size. So look for those and get rid of them by copies, paste special.
Jules, would you recommend a PNG file versus a JPEG?
I do because the PNG file is lossless.
Yep.
And the JPEG is consistently going to look crappier.
Indeed.
Crappier it's and crappier.
Save as. It gets worse, worse and worse.
and to bring a number of these tips together, if there's somebody you really don't like, you take a really high-res TIFF, you put it on a slide, and then you go into selection pane and you hide it.
What?
And that file's never getting reduced.
Actually, I believe the new NX PowerLight version 8 that just came out does look for...
Oh, that's a good tip. That's a good tip.
That's a very good point.
Look for images that are not visible now.
Oh, it does. I thought you were going to say TIFFs, which
so
I think
that's
it does.
A tip is to buy NX PowerLight.
Oh, it's only $14 for a year, you guys.
Exactly.
It's so cheap.
Upgrade, isn't it?
That's the upgrade.
They had problems with SVGs as well. And this new update fixes that.
They came out with 8. For the PC, but they're still on 7 for Mac.
That's right. It's coming soon.
Yeah.
So I will say this about 8, that one of the best things going, only because I'm going to say that I did give them a suggestion for it, it has drop-down profiles, so you can have multiple custom profiles. And that was a big discussion I had. It was very, very, I was very excited to see it in place.
I have a very sophomore tip.
A soft what?
Sorry, Mike Parkinson, Billion Dollar Graphics, MVP. So the thing that I find is ridiculously simple is in PowerPoint there are tools that allow, they're called Boolean functions, that allow you to add stuff. So you can take two shapes, two circles, you put them together, you can create a new shape. Mm-hmm. Create any shape you can design, you can imagine. Subtract shapes, add shapes, intersect shapes. So one of the functions is subtract shape. So what I often forget is which shape do you select first to select which shape will be the deleter tool.
That's what undo's for.
So here, exactly. So here's what my trick is. I think of it as cookie dough. So you select the cookie dough first, then you select the cookie cutter. So always remember, select the cookie dough first, select the cookie cutter. Select the object that you want to subtract from first, then select the subtractor. So it's a metaphor to remember this stuff. That is my dorky, lame sophomore tip.
And unfortunately, I'll never get it out of my head. Yes. Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Just to build on the functionality of the subtract, something that we've been playing with a lot, and if you build templates, you can actually create a picture placeholder that traditionally comes up in whatever square shape you like, and you can subtract any shape from that picture placeholder. which when you're on your normal slide layouts, you can actually insert a picture and it fits to that new cutout shape holder.
And Julie has a...
You can go to my blog and read the instructions on how to do that.
URL really quick?
Terbergdesign.com.
She has a little tutorial.
That's awesome.
Because you have to make a mask.
Yeah, there's all kinds of cool stuff. Can you give us a OneNote combination PowerPoint? No, this because there's so many things I do with PowerPoint in OneNote. Or
yeah, glitter pins came from OneNote.
Oh, really? Well, there's all we need to say. Okay,
it wouldn't be a conversation with Echo if we didn't hear the term glitter pins.
Glitter pins came from OneNote.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I'm Heather Severino. I'm a OneNote MVP. But I do also work in PowerPoint quite a bit as well. So I'll share a couple of tips that I use quite frequently or that my students ask me about in classes quite a bit. So in PowerPoint, one of the questions that I get most is, I want to paste something in from another application, and it's an area of information, whether that's a chart or maybe a number of cells from Excel or some information from OneNote, but I want to make sure they can't muck it up. They can't change it. So a little hidden thing that I find in my class that no one knows about is we all know about cut, copy, paste in the clipboard, but they don't know to paste it as an image. So that arrow next to paste, if you click on it, will give you the choice to paste it as an image so that they can't change it. It becomes a static flat image. That's one of the things that I find is a common question.
But I find that that does a JPEG image, where right. Paste Special, you have the option to do a PNG image, which will hold the transparency of the
correct.
Background.
Yes. So that's another thing that we get into also. If you want more flexibility or you want a better image or something from it, then look in Paste Special to find that.
And if you're pasting a chart out of Excel or cells out of Excel, one of the things I suggest is look at the Paste Special Enhanced Metafile, because then you can make it bigger on the slide and it won't get fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
So if for those of you working in Excel, you got the little graph, you paste it into PowerPoint, then you make it as big as the entire slide and mm-hmm. it looks awful. Use Enhanced Metafile because it brings it in as a vector graphic, not a, right. a bitmap graphic. Those are technical terms. If you don't understand those, you don't need to know what they mean. All you need to know is if you're having that problem, enhance the metafile under Paste
yeah.
Special. Thanks,
yeah.
Heather.
Yeah, sure. So I also work in Office 365 quite a bit, and with that, it's a lot about collaboration, live editing, working with others. And when we're working in PowerPoint, one of the things that seems to be an aha moment for everyone when we're working together as a group is working with sections. Do any of
yes.
you work with sections?
Good one.
Yes. Nice. Yeah. So there's a few reasons that I find that they really like sections, and I like for them to explore
and
see where they can
use. Let's define, because you just said Office 365 and sections.
PowerPoint specifically.
Okay, just making
PowerPoint
sure.
PowerPoint specifically, yes. Yeah. Yeah. So creating sections, everyone seems to be able to find it on the home ribbon. It's where you would create a new slide or change a layout. And once they do that, they like in the navigation pane to be able to collapse down a lot of slides, which we know we probably shouldn't have a lot. Well, we've had this discussion. How many slides are the right amount of slides? But if there are a lot of slides, they discover that, I can assign this to a certain person. They know this is their section of slides that they need to add content or modify, and then just expand that. The other great thing is to be able to drag and drop and rearrange those in that view. Or what's the other view have you discovered that's great for sections? Anybody know?
Yeah. Presenter view? Is that where you're going?
Slide sorter, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, presenter view.
Yeah, presenter view.
Presenter
you can go right to that section, right? And have you discovered anything else that's great for sections?
You can print sections.
Yes. Print sections. Yeah, that's where I'm going with it, Echo. Absolutely.
I've got a good auto tip for creating.
Wait, let me interrupt. Just so everybody knows, you're not talking about elementary students. Could you just give us like the 10 seconds? My students
are all adults.
Yeah. They're all professionals.
They're all professionals, mid to large size companies. They are either early adopters of Office 365 or working with 2016 version of Office, or they might be the power users. They might be the decision makers that are deciding if they're going to adopt Office 365 and Office 2016. So they have these kind of aha moments of, we can work much better. We don't have these different versions. We've got an easier way for us to finalize this presentation. Yeah.
Sorry, Nolan, go for it.
Oh, so an auto tip to create sections like automatically is to use Zoom. So Zoom is this, I don't want to get too far into it, but Zoom is this new feature that can give you like a non-linear like table of contents. So you insert summary Zoom and then it'll let you select all the places you want to have new sections, essentially. And you select those slides. Let's say you have like 50 slides. You go and you select, you know, slide 1, slide 10, slide 20, slide whatever, and then you hit create, and not only will it create an initial slide with all your summary zoom, but it will create 5 sections that link. And so if you don't want to use zoom, that's fine. You just delete that first slide, but your sections remain. And if you've used title placeholders, the sections are named. So if you need to create like 100 sections right away, you can do it automatically.
Did anybody notice here, this is not an NDA topic, that all of the presentations have used Zoom from the Microsoft team?
Yeah.
To almost a not perfect good.
Oh, and another thing.
But it's pretty amazing.
Another thing we've seen people are using is the Surface Pen.
Yes.
As a clicker.
Okay, who was surprised when it was used with a non-Surface? I was like, wait, you're using
that was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I'm using it with a Dell, but he wasn't using it as a pen. Yeah, but the pens are actually a Bluetooth remote.
Yeah, because as I said, there are 2 parts to the pen. One of it's just Bluetooth. So.
Okay, other.
That was pretty cool, though. Yes.
After they showed that, I have a Surface Pen in my laptop bag. I paired it with my Dell, and was clicking through slides back and forth. Right, Echo? I was showing that to you.
And so, if you push the end of the pen, you can.
So if you click the end of the pen, it's like advancing the next. Whatever it is, whether it's build, slide, whatever. If you click and hold down, then that's back one. So click is forward, click and hold down is back.
So do you have to have an active open PowerPoint application for it to recognize that the click goes to that? Because I know in OneNote, if I click on my pen, the panel that pops out to the right side shows me all of the digital note-taking tools like sticky notes and other things, possibly whiteboard or something else.
I know it works in PowerPoint slideshow mode, but I don't know in any other either editing or the other modes. We haven't tested it out.
I think we need to play.
One of the neat things is that if you're a presenter who travels and you've got your regular presentation remote you carry with you all the time, if that thing for some reason fails, you can have this as a backup, so you're not carrying a second remote or whatever.
Within Bluetooth range.
Yeah, you are restricted, but hey,
at least you're not
nailed to the podium or something like that.
I can't do it. So I'm going about ready to give something that might be covered under NDA. I don't know. I'm Nolan Hames, and. So the next future, you know, forget the spotlight, forget clickers, mind control. Just saying.
Can we talk about the Mac laser? Is that under NDA? Is that available? No, it's very cool. If you're using 6 monitors, hold on. If you're using 6 monitors, you cannot use a handheld laser pointer on all 6 monitors.
Right.
So there's now Mac a solution.
Nolan just put the microphone on his Macintosh to make it authentic.
So I think in presentation mode, you can control click in presentation mode and it becomes a little laser pointer.
Same as Windows had forever, but now it's available on Mac.
Yeah. Okay, we have people from, 3 foreign countries. We have an Aussie. Mm-hmm. We have someone from Bulgaria. We have some, yes. Oh, there you are. Sneaky devil. They're wily, these Bulgarians. We have Juno Bay from Korea, and we have a semi-foreigner here from Canada.
And Ditesh just went to bed.
Ditesh from India just went to bed. Juno Bay from Korea reminded me, he's actually put this on his website, but it's all in Korean, so we won't give you that URL. But there's a little bit of code that he really likes that I wrote a long time ago that takes multiple text, selected text boxes, merges the text from each of them into one single text box. So if you've been given, Julie, yes.
About this?
Well, it's in Korea.
How did we not know this? No!
Just go burrowing through the site. There's all
kinds. It's so freaking buried.
Well, there's a lot of stuff on the site.
I don't know about this, but to relate it to OneNote, if any of you use OneNote, if you have 2 different containers of text, if you take one and drag it into the other, you can merge both of the containers of text together as well.
I am always copy-pasting.
Oh,
Oh, wow. PowerPoint
needs
that.
We've actually been working on the exact opposite, where you have a bullet point list and you want to split it out into five or six different text boxes. And you select it and you press a macro and it actually breaks it where the cursor is.
And it'll create a
new text box at the
second
one.
You're going to do the smart.
Well, you're going to have to put that one on.
Doesn't Tools 2 have a version of that?
Tools 2 has it. But the easy way is you select it, make it into smart art, ungroup it, and you've got your individual text box.
How many of you have used OneNote as a text reader?
OCR.
Yes.
Wait. Do you mean like Lorem Ipsum, or are you
OCR?
That's my tip.
Yep.
Lorem Ipsum.
What are we?
Snagit as a character.
Yes.
Okay, so Snagit is invaluable.
Yes. Installed on every computer we have.
Yeah, Snagit from TechSmith, and Snagit will allow you to read all of the characters in an image.
Have you ever done this? From web pages that are
convert to text.
We just use this. If you don't know that, so it has an OCR, optical character recognition. Some websites are locked, so you can't pull content. No, it was actually a PDF. It was a PDF. We couldn't copy the content out of it, so we just did a Snagit of the text. Mm-hmm. It read it all, gave us text we could then drop into PowerPoint.
Pictures of tables, guys. Pictures of. I mean, come on. How many times have you had?
Oh my
pictures
gosh!
Of
a
things?
Table. You just. Yeah. I. Oh.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We've got like 90 slides of tables right now we're recreating because they're all photos. I can't believe that's never even come up.
What about Office Lens? Could that be the mediator between the two?
I think Office Lens could be the mediator. So that's a free app that you can download.
Do you guys not have Office Lens?
I have no idea.
Office Lens is another absolute hack in the office environment.
Oh my gosh.
Hold on. Juno, do you have Office Lens? Do you know this? You know what it is? Okay, the Koreans know what it is.
Okay, Office Lens. Office Lens is a free app, and it's on the iPhone, it's on the Android phone, and it's on the Windows phone, for crying out loud.
What does it do?
So,
are there still Windows phones?
There are still Windows phones, yes. And there are still Windows 10 phones
out there.
Glenna has one. So, Office Lens basically will take a picture of anything from any angle, whiteboards, clipboards, business cards, from any angle, from far away.
Oh, like a bank check.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, like
I'm watching it in use right now.
And it's amazing. You can, and it will fix the angle and make it a perfect, perfect readable image. Clean it up. But what's even better
is how do you get it from your phone to where? Oh, you just save it and text it to yourself?
Just so you know, everyone in this podcast is now downloading it if we don't already have it.
But we're all downloading. But you know what? I actually had it installed. I've just never used it.
Okay, so Juno's next to me. He took a photo out of this book, The Foo Fighters Documentary. He purposely took it. So basically, if you know projection, it's auto-keystoning. It takes a skewed image and makes a square. So he took this completely distorted picture of the band. It showed up on his phone in less than a blink. Perfectly done. And then he showed me that if you're logged into your Office account, your Office 365 account, it will be available in any of the apps you want. It can automatically show up in OneNote. It can show up in a lot of other things. I'm going to tell every doctor that we work with that goes and takes pictures of those horrible, that go down the poster aisle, they should be using this.
Now, bringing this back to PowerPoint, what I like to use this for, if you ever watch Julie's Inspired by Design, you know how she talks about her
presentation guild.
She talks about, how you can find design inspirations everywhere. And I use this, I was really inspired by that myself. And I've tried to start doing that. You know, when you walk around, you see posters in my doctor's office, when you're sitting in the waiting room and you have nothing to do, those posters in doctor's office are a gold mine for design inspiration.
With the little kitty hanging
off. They're so bad. I used to redo them all the time.
And those PowerPoints, oh my God.
So I came from Med Ed. I feel your pain.
I will whip out Office Lens because I can never get the perfect angle, and I will snap a photo of those bad PowerPoints.
Heather's how not to.
It will go immediately to my OneDrive unfiled notes, and that is my design inspiration. So that's kind of like my PowerPoint remake folder, and then when I have the time, that is kind of like my.
So you're using OneNote as like a mood board.
Yes,
that's cool.
It's a It's my mood board.
You know what? Julie and I actually did a couple of poster templates for Microsoft, so you can find them when you search in the templates, just so you know.
So, Juno, can we ask you to give us... everybody's got to know, Juno's from Korea. He is phenomenal. His animations and presentation design work is awesome. But can you give us something you see in the Korean use of PowerPoint that we don't always see?
I'm Juno Bae from Korea.
Juno, this is Julie. Are you using a lot of Morph? Are you using Morph?
Yeah.
Transitions.
Yeah.
On that same point about the appear and disappear, we had a case, and I don't know when and where I learned this from, but we have a case, and obviously we all will agree that you don't need logo on your on every single slide. So please, companies that you listen, please stop asking us to put your logo on every single slide, because everyone on this room, everyone on this table, I don't care. Like, no one works with us with logo on every slide. So if you want to have the logo on every slide for some reason, you can do something very interesting, because I agree, I completely agree that sometimes the logo is needed.
For printing purposes,
exactly.
Right?
If you want it for
printing.
Separate. Yeah.
This is good.
Separated.
But if you want to present with a logo on every slide, and you then later on want to print that same document, then why don't we do the following? Why don't we animate the logo on the slide, add an appear animation first, and add immediately afterwards the disappear animation. Probably I have seen it.
But here's the rationale. The rationale is this. How many times do you see when you create a magazine, a print brochure, do you see the logo on every single slide? You don't. So why should that apply to a PowerPoint slide?
So let me say that the trick is you can't just disappear a logo, and you can't just disappear a page number, because we do it with both of those.
Yep.
You have to apply an appear animation and then a disappear, because it doesn't disappear until it appears. But if you appear and disappear at the same time, then you don't see it in Slideshow.
Yeah, you can get away with just a disappear if you have no transition set, but it's just safer to
appear and disappear. You're exactly right.
What about if it's a watermark?
Is you can do the same need, thing.
Like, right.
Same thing.
Confidential.
Anything that you want to show in print but not on screen, appear and disappear. Add both animations at the same time.
So like footnotes that can't be read on screen,
exactly.
But need to be there.
You can do it just once for a logo or a page number on the master. You don't have to do it every slide.
The one thing to know is, especially with page numbers, it will trip up your presenters a little bit if they go back a lot, because they have to double click to go back. They have to click twice to go back.
So one of the topics I wanted to raise with Nolan, and we released an article not too long ago saying there should be education or a design degree in presentation design. Discuss, Nolan.
I think I disagreed with you.
Yeah.
Well, you said there should be an undergraduate degree in presentation design. I'm of the theory that undergraduate degrees should be more macro, more... larger thinking.
Could we encompass presentation design in those macro?
Liberal arts.
Liberal arts design, and then you get into the more
totally
detail.
I totally agree with you, Nolan. Yeah. Julie.
Somebody needs... You need a grounding. It should be a grounding in design, if you're going to go there.
Tom, when you hire, are you looking for designers, or do you say somebody that knows PowerPoint? I mean, we're looking for a designer, and we'll tell them after the fact that we're going to be working in PowerPoint as our canvas.
We want
design
tell them
skills.
After the fact, because our attrition rate. We will openly ask for presentation designer, but the fundamental is we really feel like there should be a strong push in education for presentation design as a course, as a specialty. The problem I have is you finish a design degree, you finish a Bachelor of Liberal Arts, and you know nothing more than Adobe.
Well, okay, no, that's, right. But that's something different. I agree that design degrees should have that as an added curriculum.
I agree.
But if I'm hiring a web designer, I'd prefer to have them have a full design education.
Yes.
If I'm hiring a presentation designer, I want a full design education with everything, and then you decide, and then you go.
You specialize, like a doctor, right?
I don't know the U.S. system as well as I know the Australian system, but in Australia you have a Bachelor of Media Studies, a Bachelor of Arts, a Bachelor of Design, a Bachelor of Graphic Design. You have a variety of bachelors of fundamental implements, a Bachelor of Computer Gaming, you have a Bachelor of Artwork. There's a variety of
bachelors. So computer gaming, let's take that one. They're not going to focus on a platform or a specific application. They're going to train in applications that that college uses, but presentation design is very...
I disagree with whatever you're about to say.
It tends to, what happens is it tends to focus on the program that's being used instead of the design concept.
No one has spent 3 years in education fundamentally looking at the principles behind what makes a great graphic designer. And you and I had this conversation.
So we had this conversation. What would encompass those?
When I said the principles of graphic design apply to PowerPoint, and Troy said, yes, out-of-home media, big billboards. And I said, yes and no. There are so many bits and pieces, and every agency pulls together their own design principles into what they form as a fundamental principle of graphic design in PowerPoint or in presentation design.
We basically adapt design principles in our medium, which is our canvas of PowerPoint, Keynote, Prezi, it could be PDF, anything that's presentation-oriented, because there are definite design principles that need to be modified to use there.
Yeah. Troy, your daughter just graduated with a degree in what?
She will be graduating in graphic design.
That's the title, graphic design, 4 years, right?
Because my daughter's degree is officially, it's a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Applied Art and Design. Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, it is extremely hard to get into, and I'm extremely proud of her. And she is graduating this June and already has a full-time job waiting for her. So, as a designer, no less. And not with us, no. That's actually something else of a conversation.
I know that Syracuse changed, theirs is visual communications, which I think is a great term.
Very good,
term.
Very good.
Bachelor's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I honestly think that every single college student needs more presentation skills.
We know that. That's
especially
agreed.
Business students.
That is a stat.
But I don't think a degree in presentation design is absolutely the way to go. I think that core fundamentals in design.
I would like to make it a specialty.
I'm a little disturbed by how many graphic design books I've read that completely dismiss presentations, like presentation software.
Books? I've got programs.
Like, how about people?
People too.
PowerPoint is a tool. Keynote is a tool. It's all about the tools. Just because you know Adobe tools and you do print does not mean that visual is not legit. It's a canvas.
You know, the same thing, it's the canvas. It's how you use the tool, is exactly as Echo said. But it's discounted.
We're seeing a paradigm shift. If you notice, back in the day, it was a graphic designer did web design, did presentation design. We're seeing it, and it has to be the case because we're seeing a lot of people's jobs going bye-bye because of AI or automation or anything like that. So what we're looking for are people that specialize in something. And so Australia might be ahead of us in the fact that they have these verticals for degrees. So we're going to see more and more of that. And it makes sense. I love the fact that you go broad at first. You say, like, first here's graphic design base best practices. Don't be a doofus. Now let's go down a rabbit hole into presentation design. I think it's the future, and I am certainly not the sharpest banana in the cactus patch, so we're going to find out.
Keep going, Mike. I want more.
Is there a pineapple and a pen in there?
One thing I don't understand, and you just said this, there are a lot of jobs going bye-bye. Why are the graphic designers so adamantly against presentation design? You are trained graphic designers. You can transfer those skills.
Nolan, do you want to kind of give us, Nolan and Sandy, want to give us some closing comments? Because we're going to have to say goodbye to everybody so we can go do more fun stuff with Microsoft tomorrow.
Closing comments. Troy, you're going to have a lot of editing to do. I know that on this past podcast. But we've lost a couple of people, but we still got a nice critical mass here. So, I just want to pat ourselves on the back for not revealing any NDA stuff, I don't think. We really? Yeah. Despite the drinks on the table, yeah. I think.
And I wish by saying this more people would be listening to this, but this is an awesome, awesome podcast. The tips alone are going to save you time. They're going to make you an expert.
Yay, us. I thought you were going to say it's an awesome group around the
indeed.
Table, but that too.
That's true. It is because of that.
That's right.
Because it's an awesome group. We have an awesome podcast.
Yes.
Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us. This one will be live and another one in 2 weeks. Thanks, everybody, for joining us here. Really appreciate it.
Show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.